booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano, along with somebody who's older than she was yesterday.
Oh, well, aren't we all, though? Aren't
yes.
we all?
Yes, we are.
Yes, what a day it was. Hello, everybody. I hope everybody's having a nice morning so far. It's 5:02. Let's check the weather. The weather is not going to be so nice today. We're going to have cloudy skies from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center this morning, followed by thunderstorms in the afternoon. We will experience some gusty winds, maybe some small hail. So it's just going to be kind of a lousy day. But honestly, I'll deal with it. I'll take it because the rest of the week looks absolutely beautiful. Today we're going to get to a high of 77 degrees. Tonight we're going to drop down into the 50s. We'll start to have those clouds dissipate overnight sometime. And by tomorrow, we are going to have a beautiful day, 70 degrees, just an absolutely perfect fall day, sunny, low humidity. Oh, just wonderful. On Thursday, 66 degrees for a high. Yeah, we're definitely getting into those fall temps. Mostly sunny skies. And I'm telling you, the rest of the week, low 70s, but low humidity and, for the most part, sun. So that's good. That's a good weather forecast.
Absolutely.
We should all be very happy about
that. Except for today.
Except for today. Once we get past today, life is golden.
Time's running out to prevent a government shutdown. Senate Republicans blocked a bill ahead of Thursday's deadline. The House passed it last week to keep money flowing for another 2 months and suspend the debt ceiling. But Democrats refused to give up and plan to try again. Meantime, the White House wants both sides to work together on immigration reform amidst recent border surges.
Well, the deadline for certain state workers to get vaccinated has officially passed. Of particular concern has been the healthcare industry. Obviously, it's been faced with staffing shortages since the pandemic. And obviously, with many employees still refusing to get their shots, it's become a looming crisis. Enter Governor Kathy Hochul. Former Governor Andrew Cuomo's replacement signed an executive order Monday to deploy the National Guard, retired health workers, new graduates, and those licensed in other states and countries to fill in for anti-vaccine nurses who up and quit over the mandate. And as I told you last week, she's also reportedly working with the feds to streamline those approvals for visa requests. Meantime, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says he will give the Department of Education workers until 5 p.m. Friday to get their dose. If they don't, the city will assume that they are not coming to work that Monday. That's because the U.S. Court of Appeals had granted an injunction that paused the city's plan to enforce this Monday deadline. But after a three-person panel review, the injunction was lifted. But de Blasio is still giving teachers a little bit of extra time. So you've got till Friday now.
And it's not just New York that is fixated on vaccines. So is the NBA. And basketball icon Kareem Abdul-Jabbar says that NBA players should get the COVID vaccine or get kicked off their team. The Hall of Famer told Rolling Stone that there's no room for players willing to risk the health and lives of their teammates. Speaking on CNN yesterday, Abdul-Jabbar likened the fight against the virus to a war with masks and vaccines as the weapons.
Well, here's a very interesting twist. Was Brian Laundrie boozing? That's my stupid computer going off. Sorry. It always happens. Always happens. Was Brian Laundrie boozing before he actually killed Gabby Petito? This is interesting. There's yet another twist in this macabre case that has captured America's attention. A 44-year-old doctor says he and three others were speaking with a man who resembled Laundrie and who said his name was Laundrie, well, Brian, he said, at a bar on the night of August 26, which is one day before Gabby was last seen alive. Hunter Mannies says Laundrie appeared angry and at one point basically barged into their conversation with a rude comment about stupid Southerners and effing Republicans. Manny says that he reported the engagement to the feds, with whom he talked for roughly 45 minutes.
Hmm.
Yeah.
5:07. Let's get a look at traffic and transit on the Zevens with the returning Joe Nolan. How was your event yesterday, Joe?
It was great. It was up in Hamburg, New Jersey, right at Crystal Springs Golf Resort. Oh my gosh, it was phenomenal.
Now Hamburg, that's not the Hamburg that has a big festival and does all the hamburger stuff, is it?
No, this is up in Sussex County, way up at the top of the state.
It's in Germany.
Nice.
It was awesome. And this resort up there, that Crystal Springs Resort, it's phenomenal. It's like a 5-star hotel. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
Really is. So,
how long did it take you to get up there?
About an hour, but a little more than an hour from here.
Oh, okay.
He can't really complain when he's the victim of traffic because it's how he makes his living.
Exactly. Yeah.
But on the Van Wyck, though, southbound. So the Hamburg Fire Department was the group, and they have 158 golfers. I mean, this is a big thing. I mean, they do it every year. The whole county comes. It's great. Southbound on the Van Wyck at Hillside Avenue, an accident one lane out both ways. Springfield Avenue at Broad Street, overturned tractor trailer, all lanes were closed. That's in Westfield. On the Garden State Parkway northbound at the Driscoll Bridge, a disabled left lane. 287 on the southbound side at exit 30. There's a tractor trailer fire. And alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations once again today are going to be suspended. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Oh, I'm looking at pictures of the Crystal Springs Resort. It looks very nice. It's got this big indoor water pool type feature.
It's a big giant atrium, and even in the dead of winter, and it gets cold up there in the wintertime, it stays 73, 74, 78 degrees inside of this thing, and it's really something.
Oh, that looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
All right, we'll check back with you in a little bit.
All right,
we've got some more news to get to. The Texas law banning most abortions has done exactly what it was predicted to do. Rather than getting the surgery in Texas, women are simply traveling out of state. An abortion clinic in Oklahoma says it's seen patient numbers rise more than tenfold in the last 3 weeks, with some women traveling 600 miles alone to get the termination.
Mm. The FBI is reporting an increase in violent crime last year, up 5% from 2019. That's the first jump in 4 years. Murders and manslaughter crimes soared nearly 30%, while there were fewer robberies and rapes. Property crimes also fell for the 18th straight year. The FBI says those victims lost $17.5 billion.
Whoa, 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 whoa. All right. It is delicious. It's DiGiorno, but it's also dangerous. Nestle is recalling 28,000 pounds of pizza. It contains textured soy protein, which apparently causes allergic reactions in some people. The problem is that that's not on the label. So the one thing you need to look out for if you have it in your freezer and you are one of these people that suffers from allergic reactions to this particular thing, you have to look for DiGiorno 3-meat crispy pan crust pizza. And I will post that on Twitter. At Jess at Juliet.
So if people are not allergic to textured soy protein, they could still eat it with no problem.
I would imagine that's the case. I didn't do any more research on this, but I would imagine yes.
The man who tried to assassinate President Reagan 40 years ago will be a free man soon. A judge says he'll remove John Hinckley from all court supervision next June, but only if he follows the rules and remains mentally stable. An official ruling will happen later this week. The 66-year-old Hinckley was found not guilty by reason of insanity. He's been in Virginia since being released from a mental hospital in 2016.
Some promising news for those battling COVID. At least promising antiviral pills are being tested as we speak. Very happy to hear this. These are basically short-term regimens of daily pills. Like, for instance, you know, you've had Tamiflu. They come in the little, you know, you take this amount this day, then this amount that day. These pills can fight the virus early after you're diagnosed and possibly keep the symptoms from developing. It's a really huge breakthrough if it does pan out. Again, the testing is happening right now. Experts say we could have results by the late fall or early winter, just in time for what I'm predicting is going to be yet another wave.
The Powerball jackpot keeps getting bigger.
Ooh.
Did you end up buying a ticket yesterday?
I completely forgot about it. I'm going to do it today.
All right. Well, it's a good day to do it because there was no grand prize winner in last night's drawing. That means tomorrow's jackpot will be worth a whopping $570 million.
Oh, yes.
The odds of winning are 1 in 292.2 million.
You know, we didn't hear about who that person was that won over at Pronto Pizza.
No, I don't think they've come forward yet.
I mean, I don't know if I don't know if I couldn't. I'd probably have to.
Well, no, such a big you mouth. Have to come forward to accept the prize. So they don't let you not announce yourself.
Oh, that's true.
So yes,
that's
true. As soon as this person claims their prize, we'll know who it is.
Can you imagine how lame it would be if it was one of these rich hosts over at Fox News or NBC or something like that? People who get paid $30 million a year already.
Well, do you think if you're getting paid
yes.
$30 million that you're
I know.
A lottery ticket?
I absolutely know they do. I've been with them when they do what they do.
Really?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Well,
of course. The iPhone 13, do you have an Android or
I have a Google Pixel, which runs on the Android operating system.
Okay. Well, the iPhone 13 literally just came out, but already we're hearing about plans for the next generation iPhone smartphone. One expert says the little tweaks that they did during this latest incarnation, you know, because the 13 really isn't that, it hasn't changed that much from the previous one. But the little tweaks gave Apple a chance to focus on a major overhaul for number 14. So consumers should apparently expect new entry-level and pro models and a complete redesign. It is expected to come out in 2022.
A Marine officer is in the brig after his videos blasting military leaders for the chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan went viral. Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller was taken into custody on Monday at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. Scheller released several videos before his superior officers ordered him to stop posting to social media entirely. He immediately posted another video that he ended saying, quote, I'm ready for jail, close quote. Scheller has served as a Marine for 17 years and is now in custody awaiting a preliminary hearing.
A prisoner being held on charges of attempted burglary, larceny, and parole violations is on the loose. Harry Maldonado somehow escaped from the Bellevue Hospital prison ward around 4 a.m. Monday morning. The 55-year-old was last seen wearing a hospital gown, black hat, and black sunglasses. Officials from the Department of Corrections say they're trying to figure out how he did it, and they take escaped convicts very seriously, quote unquote. I should hope so.
Well, you mentioned the Brian Laundrie situation yesterday, and there's been a near constant buzz of activity around the Florida home where he and his fiance were staying with his parents prior to his death. Yesterday saw not only protests, but a new trend, the delivery of flowers. Flowers for Gabby started trending on Twitter after one woman in Texas sent flowers to the home. Soon, many others followed suit, with one person saying she's not trying to troll the Laundries, but wants them to know you can't silence victims like Gabby. The 22-year-old, who was originally from Long Island, was, of course, killed during a cross-country trip with Brian Laundrie. He returned home without her and hasn't been seen since.
Ay, ay, ay. Well, this is a really strange question. What went wrong with a former wildlife student who is now facing nearly a decade in jail for arson? Alexandra Suvernerva is her name. She's charged with setting fires all across California, including the state's Fawn Fire. That's the one that just happened recently. It's burned 8,500 acres and it has destroyed 41 homes so far. The 30-year-old graduated from the prestigious California Institute of Technology with degrees in chemistry and biology. She also spent some time at SUNY's College of Environmental Science, her PhD program there up here in New York. Her LinkedIn profile lists her occupation as shaman, which means that she is a person connected to the transcendent world, a healer. But officials say she is in need of some healing herself. She's had several scrapes with the law, including trespassing. The Fawn Fire, by the way, ignited sometime on September 22nd. She was seen in the area that day prior to the fire and was asked to leave. Firefighters found her later walking out of the brush with CO2 cartridges and a cigarette lighter. She has pleaded not guilty.
5:15, a good day for Met fans yesterday in that it was a rare day the Mets didn't lose. Here to tell you all about it is Matt Sapienza.
Thanks, Frank. Well, the New York teams were off today. Yesterday, baseball will resume with the Mets taking on Miami at Citi Field and the Yankees playing the Blue Jays in Toronto. But today, it's all about Monday Night Football. Dak Prescott threw for 3 touchdowns in his first home game since he suffered an ankle injury on the same field field almost a year ago. Trayvon Diggs returned an interception 59 yards for a score, and the Dallas Cowboys dominated the Philadelphia Eagles 41-21. Ezekiel Elliott ran a season-high 95 yards and two touchdowns, and tight end Dalton Schultz had the first 2-TD game of his career. Prescott was efficient outside of a fumble in the end zone that gave the Eagles their first touchdown. With sports at 15 and 45, I'm Matt Sapienza, and that's WABC Sports. Back to you guys.
Thank you, Matt. 517, let's get a look at traffic and transit on the 7s with Joe Nolan.
All right, Frank, on the southbound side of the Van Wyck and Hillside Avenue, an accident, one lane going to be out of service. Now, in New Jersey, a few things. If you're on the Garden State Parkway northbound at the Driscoll Bridge, a disabled left lane. Then on 287 up in Morristown, as you head southbound coming down to exit 30, there's a tractor-trailer fire. Now, on the Hutch northbound at Wilmont Road, apparently a truck, of course, does not belong on the Hutch, gets up there, slams into one of the overpasses. So this is a mess, one lane closed. And alternate side of the street parking again today is going to be suspended. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Joseph. Mm-hmm. Let's head over to Mr. BizBuzz himself to find out what's happening with the business world.
Well, you're going to hear about inflation and some warnings that Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell gave to Congress yesterday. I'll tell you what he said and what it means for your pocketbook.
Excellent. And I'm going to tell you about the best cities in the world, broken down by things like weather. Is it easy to get a job? Restaurants, things like that. I'm covering the top 15. We did 5 yesterday. We're doing 5 more today from 10 to 6. So that's coming up in your Jet Set Julia travel update at 5:40.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
20 minutes after 5, this is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano at 67 degrees. The opening bell rings this morning after a mixed day of trading on Wall Street. Energy and bank stocks led the Dow higher while big tech tumbled. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial gained 71 points, the S&P 500 lost 12, and the NASDAQ fell 77 points. August wholesale inventories lead off today's economic reports. Analysts expect to see a 0.4% increase in wholesale inventories last month when the numbers come out at 8:30 this morning. The spotlight shifts to home prices at 9 when the Case-Shiller and U.S. indexes for July are due. The Consumer Confidence Index for September comes out at 10 Eastern Time, and the experts are forecasting a slight rise over August. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell is expected to warn Congress today that factors behind the recent rise in inflation could last longer than expected. In an advance copy of Powell's speech to the Senate Banking Committee, he says inflation is elevated and will stay up for several more months. The Fed chief will say inflation is due to increased spending as the economy continues to reopen, along with supply chain bottlenecks in some economic sectors. Powell is scheduled to speak to the Banking Committee at 10 o'clock this morning. Juliet?
Thank you very much. R. Kelly, guilty. The fallen R&B star was found guilty of racketeering, including acts of bribery and sexual exploitation of a child, as well as sex trafficking. At the center of any racketeering case, as you know, is an enterprise. The group or entity that carries out the crimes. Well, normally we immediately think of the mob. But in this case, the enterprise was Kelly and his posse of managers and bodyguards and drivers and personal assistants and all the rest of them, most of whom promoted Kelly's brand, but they also recruited women and girls to engage in illegal sexual activity with Kelly and produce pornography, including child pornography. Kelly's facing life in prison. His sentencing is set for May 4th.
A Hawaii police officer is being recognized for saving a man's life after he was attacked by a wild pig. The Kona Crime Prevention Committee, that's right, says a man was experiencing significant blood loss after sustaining large lacerations to his thigh and calf during the attack in June. That's when Island of Hawaii police officer Dustin Medeiros came in and applied a tourniquet to the man's leg to slow down the bleeding. The committee says Medeiros was able to keep his composure while acting quickly in a life-threatening situation.
That is very strange. Well, I wanted to say something that happened yesterday, and I didn't really realize this, and I didn't know much about it. I mean, I've heard Mercury going into retrograde. I never really understood what it meant, but yesterday on September 27th, conveniently my birthday, coincidentally, ironically, whatever you want to say, Mercury went into retrograde for the third and final time in 2021. So apparently this period, which ends on October 18th, you'll hear people complaining about how everything is going wrong because Mercury is in retrograde. But apparently, according to Western astrological traditions, Mercury is the planet that represents communication of all kinds. So when it goes into retrograde, the theory is that our communications get thrown out of whack. So if we are doing a lousy job, I'm just going to blame Mercury in retrograde.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Mayor Bill de Blasio is calling for immediate change at Rikers Island after touring the jail yesterday. He visited the island for the first time in 4 years after mounting pressure from other lawmakers and the public. He says COVID is a massive challenge when it comes to addressing problems at the facility, adding, they've continuously worked to fix conditions. The jail has been reporting dangerously low staff numbers. De Blasio has used his tenure to move towards shutting down Rikers Island, cutting the population in roughly half over the past 8 years.
Well, we've got a little soundbite here, Matt, so get ready for it. U.S. Representative Liz Cheney recently did a major about-face. You might have seen it. The Wyoming Republican admitted that she was wrong when she came out against same-sex marriage. It caused a furor with a lot of folks when she did, including her own sister, who has been married to wife Heather Poe since 2012. The sister's name is Mary. Cheney told Leslie Stahl of 60 Minutes this past Sunday that she was wrong.
How do you defend what you did?
I was wrong. I was wrong. I love my sister very much. I love her family very much. And I was wrong. It's a very personal issue. And very personal for my family. I believe that my dad was right. And my sister and I have had that conversation.
Mary Cheney, meantime, came out, pardon the pun, shortly after saying that she was proud of her sister for having the courage to admit she was wrong. She also said she has nothing but respect and admiration for the strength of character that Liz Cheney continues to show on a daily basis. And lastly, Mary says, well, she got in a quick good-natured jab. She said she just had one more thing to say to her big sis. Quote, I told you so.
All right. Well, a 14-year-old is recovering after being struck by a stray bullet in the Bronx. Police sources say the boy was walking home from school at the time of the incident. It happened yesterday afternoon in the Wakefield section of the Bronx. Reports indicate the victim was shot in the ankle and taken to the hospital in stable but serious condition.
Oh, good Lord. Mm. All right. It is 5:27. Let's head over to Joe Nolan. I'm looking at more pictures of this resort, Joe. I kind of want to take a little trip.
Oh,
it looks fun.
It's awesome.
Looks
and I know
fun.
The guy, too. I know a guy.
You know a guy?
I know a guy.
Oh, cool. Great.
So he can get you a decent room. There are all the rooms inside all have, you know, stainless steel appliances and
wow.
Fireplaces. And
oh, that's nice.
I mean, it's really, really, really nice. All right, Van Wyck southbound Hillside Avenue, an accident, one lane out. Now, if you're on the Hutch northbound at Wilmot Road, a box truck apparently wandered out onto the roadway, slammed into the overpass, one lane going to be blocked. 287 southbound at exit 30, tractor-trailer fire. Mass transit really not all that bad. An alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations again today are suspended. The supportive service of Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield. Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield and Heart of America are helping schools all across the country increase their access to healthy food. Learn more at empireblue.com/NY Liberty. And many members of the fire department and police department up there listen to this radio program every morning.
Oh, do they? Excellent.
They do. Yeah,
well,
yeah,
hello.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello, gentlemen and ladies.
Yeah, they were very excited that we talked about all of you guys. It was great. We had a good time. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the Sevens, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
A big shout out to everybody up there.
Yep.
Thank you very much, Joe. We'll check back with you in a little bit. Okay, so coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update, part two of my three-part series, The Best Cities in the World. I'll tell you about some excellent cities today that keep getting better and better and better, according to the Raiders. And we will also head over to On This Day, because on this day, September 28th, lots of interesting things happened. All of that coming up after Deb's headlines.
All right.
Also, big news regarding the Brian Laundrie case. No, he has not yet been found, but the head of Utah's Moab Police Department, Brett Edge, now he has said he is taking a leave of absence days after the city announced it's going to investigate those officers and their handling of that possible domestic violence case last month. We've all seen the video involving Gabby Petito and her fiancé, Brian Laundrie. Petito, of course, the victim of a homicide, her body found in Wyoming. Laundrie, of course, remains missing as of this morning. His parents say they do not know where he is. There is an arrest warrant for him. The issue of vaccines for New York City public school teachers and other workers is headed to the U.S. Supreme Court. Lawyers for teachers who don't want New York City to impose that vaccine mandate for COVID-19 say they are going to ask the U.S. Supreme Court to intervene. The announcement late last night. This public safety agent outside of New York City Hall yesterday, she's out of a job for refusing to get a vaccine.
I believe we should have a choice.
The rally was held by anti-vaxxers at City Hall. A federal appeals panel green-lighted New York City to impose that mandate. It takes effect at the end of the day on Friday. R&B superstar R. Kelly facing decades in prison after a Brooklyn jury found him guilty of racketeering and sex trafficking. His sentencing set for May 4th. And more details this morning about Monday morning shooting outside the 1111 restaurant and lounge up in the Inwood section of Manhattan. Chief of Patrol Juanita Holmes says a gunman shot four men during a dispute that ended up spilling out onto the street. The gunman was shot by a police sergeant who was on patrol with another officer. All shooting victims are expected to survive. And Powerball has soared to $570 million after no top-tier winner was announced last night. And that's your 77-second WABC News update. I'm Deborah Valentine.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you, Mike. Now, I got to tell you, before we get to On This Day, especially in the summer, sometimes it's hot and just, I don't know, life's daily stresses can take a toll on our appearance. I guess it happens in summer, winter, fall, spring. It happens all year round. That's the ethos at Dolce Aesthetics New York, where they provide a wide range of services, including non-invasive, non-surgical treatments from Botox. Oh, I love my Botox. To fillers. I'm liking my fillers too. Cellulite reduction. Haven't done that yet, but laser hair removal, facials, and more. And it gives, the whole point is to give your skin the perk and the, just the zhuzh. As Jen, who is the boss over there, as she likes to say, the zhuzh, it deserves, and give you the enviable look that you have always desired. If you're looking to sculpt or mold your body, they have contouring and butt lift treatments for the results that you've always wanted. I have to say, you should see Jen's butt. I'm just saying. The choices are endless. It's a matter of choosing the procedures that are right for you. Dolce Aesthetics New York has locations in Howard Beach, Glendale, Brooklyn, and now Oceanside. I mean, she's like right down the road for me, which is pretty cool. Giving you the convenience and accessibility to achieve relaxation and self-care without the hassle. If you're ready to experience prime results, just do me a favor. Ladies and gentlemen, Sid Rosenberg, listen up. Text the word Dolce, D-O-L-C-E, to 95,000, N-5-9-5-0-0-0 for 10% off your next treatment. That's pretty awesome. Or visit them at DolceAestheticsNewYork.com. That's D-O-L-C-E, aesthetics.com, NewYork.com.
All right.
Yes. Can you tell that I've been there?
Hey, love that enthusiasm. And whatever you're doing, it's working. So.
Oh, thanks. I love Jen. She's success. Cool. She's great. Oh, look, you know, 52 years old, you got to have a little zhuzhing now and then.
You zhuzh with the best of them, believe me.
Hey, I admit it at least.
Well, what happened today?
Well, let me tell you, on this day, September 28th, in the beautiful year of 1066. Remember I told you yesterday that
Norman
on my
invasion.
Birthday?
Yeah.
What was that?
It was the Norman invasion.
That's right. William the Conqueror left. Well, then he invaded England today. He landed at Pevensey Bay, which is in Sussex. And we all know what happened after that.
On this day in 1891, novelist Herman Melville died at the age of 72. He is, of course, best known for writing Moby Dick.
Well, this was a big day for California. On this day, September 28th, 1542, explorer Juan Rodriguez Cabrillo discovers California at San Diego Bay, naming it San Miguel, and claims it for Spain.
On this day in 1920, eight members of baseball's Chicago White Sox were indicted for allegedly throwing the 1919 World Series.
Yikes. On this day, September 28th, 1621, battle at, I don't know how to pronounce this, Chokmdinster? King Sigismund III, Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth, that's me, defeats the invading Ottoman Imperial Army.
Ottomans,
get out, Ottomans. Get out.
The Ottomans are no Normans, that's for sure.
Heck no.
On this day in 1928, Scottish bacteriologist Alexander Fleming discovered penicillin.
On this day, September 28th in 1687, the Venetians, my people, my adopted people, take Athens from the Turks.
On this day in 1955... NBC Television broadcast the World Series in color for the first time.
Oh, how exciting. On this day, September 28th, 1701, divorce was legalized in Maryland.
On this day in 1964, actor, comedian Harpo Marx died at the age of 75.
Oh, on this day, September 28th, 1779, Samuel Huntington from Connecticut is elected president of the Continental Congress, succeeding John Jay. Huntington is not from Huntington, Long Island. He was from, again, Connecticut.
Did they name it for him, though?
I don't believe they did. I have to look that up, though.
In 1968, the Beatles topped the charts with their hit, Hey Jude. The tune stayed at the top of the charts for 9 straight weeks.
On this day, 1785, a short little dude who was just 16 years old, graduates from the elite École Militaire in Paris. He was 42nd in a class of 51, but no matter, because Napoleon Bonaparte certainly made up for his lack of grades at the École Militaire en Paris.
On this day in 2005, a Texas grand jury handed up one charge of criminal conspiracy against House Majority Leader Tom DeLay. The charge stemmed from a probe into a political action committee founded by the Texas lawmaker.
And on this day, 1858, Donati's comet becomes the first to be photographed.
That's all I have.
Well, there you go. That's all I have. I mean, I could go on all day, but we have other things we have to do here, Frank.
That is for sure. For instance, we are keeping an eye on today's Afghanistan hearing. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin and Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman General Mark Milley will testify on Capitol Hill today. Austin and Milley will go before the Senate's Armed Services Committee to talk about the withdrawal from Afghanistan. U.S. Central Command Chief General Frank McKenzie also will testify. It'll be their first public testimony since the collapse of the Afghan government and the Taliban's rapid takeover of the country ahead of the chaotic pullout of American and Afghan civilians and U.S. forces.
Well, it is 5:36. I'm going to tell you coming up about news. I've been waiting for this news for a long time. It's something that animal lovers, I think, are going to rejoice about. No more eating dog meat in a certain country, but I'll tell you about that momentarily. Let's, in the meantime, head over to Traffic on the Sevens with Joseph B. Nolan.
All right, Juliet Hutch, northbound Wilmont Road, box truck accident. Again, one lane going to be out of service getting through there on the Van Wyck southbound at Hillside Avenue. An accident with one lane closed. Also trouble on 287 up in New Jersey on the southbound side at exit 30. Track trailer fire, that continues. That's in the Morristown area. Mass Transit looks to be very good, at least so far this morning. And alternate side, once again today, is suspended. With Traffic on the Sevens, I'm Joe Nolan. Talk Radio 77, WABC.
All right, yesterday on Wall Street, sort of a mixed day. The NASDAQ fell 77 points, the Dow Jones gained 71, and the S&P 500 lost 12. Ford is planning to invest $11.4 billion on new production sites in Kentucky and Tennessee, where electric vehicles, along with the batteries to power them, will be manufactured. The move is expected to create 6,000 jobs at a mega campus called Blue Oval City in Stanton, Tennessee. Ford says the new assembly plant will be carbon neutral with zero waste to landfill once it's fully operational. 5,000 more jobs will be heading to Glendale, Kentucky, where Governor Andy Beshear is calling this the single largest investment in that state's history. And here's a safety alert for anyone who drives a Hyundai. The automaker is recalling more than 95,000 SUVs and sedans because they could catch fire or stall. Seems an engine part may wear out early. This affects certain Tucson and Sonata hybrids from 2017 with a 2-liter GDI engine. Owners will be notified in November, and dealers will fix any damage for free. Juliet?
Thank you very much. It's time now for your Jet Set Juliet travel update. We're going to start with just a little bit of breaking news. Actually, I would not refer to this as breaking because it happened on Sunday. But Norwegian Cruise Line has resumed cruising from New York City. Yay! With the breakaway, its first week-long voyage to Bermuda departed September 26th, setting sail from the Manhattan Cruise Terminal. As you know, I used to love seeing the ship go down the Hudson. I would sit there in Hoboken and just watch it. It just was like, oh, and you could just see all the people on deck. They were so excited. Anyway, it offers week-long voyages to Bermuda through October 31st, and then it moves down to New Orleans. Moving on, every year, bestcities.org comes out with their list of the best cities, and today we're talking about the best cities in the world. They break it down by things like weather, what are each city's neighborhoods like, the landmarks, airports, attractions like museums, pro sports teams, live music venues, restaurants, diversity, is it easy to get a job, what kind of jobs, and of course, affordability and whether it's the type of city others want to visit. So we're covering the top 15, making our way down to number one. Yesterday, I told you about San Francisco's international appeal, Abu Dhabi's rising cred as a haven for the arts, Chicago's multifaceted appeal from cuisine to the music scene to everything else, Doha, Qatar's luxuriously cultured vibe, and Rome's reign as one of the best examples of being one giant outdoor museum. Today, we hit the top 10, starting with the 10th spot. Madrid, this is a city with breathtaking culture, breathtaking scenery, and breathtaking nightlife. It also does a great job with urban planning. It makes it super easy for both locals and visitors to get around. At number 9, another Spanish city, Barcelona. This is a city I fell in love with a decade ago. I mean, it has everything. You've got the ocean, so you've got the beautiful views from your hotel rooms, wonderful marinas and gorgeous rooftop bars and lots of seafood restaurants. And speaking of, the Catalonian cuisine is to die for. It's so good. So expect to visit some amazing restaurants, too. And I love the old Gothic quarter. It really, really makes you feel like you've gone back in time. One of my favorite memories, actually, Frank, was sitting there eating at this tiny little outdoor restaurant. It was kind of nestled in between an old church and some ancient buildings. And it was surrounded by tiny candles and just one lone musician playing Spanish music. It was so beautiful.
It sounds like quite an experience.
Oh, God, yeah. The weather, well, unfortunately, I was with somebody that I didn't want to be with. But anyway, The weather is perfect year-round, and it's got a really fun but sophisticated feel to it. Watch out for pickpockets, though. They'll get you every time. Los Angeles takes the number 8 spot. This is a city that gives you everything you could want. You've got glamour, kitsch, beaches, museums. What also, though, makes it rank right up there with the best cities in the world is the fact that it's really embraced the Mexican culture, and some of the best restaurants are dotted around the city, best Mexican restaurants. What I most love, though, about it is that it's a city where people work to live, not the other way around, not like New York City. You go down to the Strand, you know, which is like the promenade along the beach, around, and I mean, it's just beaches wherever you look. At around 4 o'clock on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, and you'll see people out running, playing volleyball, people that have left work or, you know, they schedule their work early. It's all about the outdoors in LA, playing, eating, exercising, drinking. And if you do your homework, you'll find that there are many little towns, cool little towns that make up the LA area, whether it's the mansion studded mountains of Hollywood Hills or the laid back beach community of Manhattan Beach, where I loved living. It was incredible. Although I was younger and I called it Manhattan Beach. LA's got something for everyone, really. Number 7, Singapore. This city has propelled itself to the top. Wow, has it ever. It's got really smart planning with an attention to attracting powerhouse companies and talent. It's put a huge investment into research and development, which is only going to strengthen its universities. This is the city of the 22nd century. It's also very safe, and it's always on the cutting edge. Even its airport is a local landmark worthy of a visit, whether you're flying in or not. It's got a massive indoor waterfall and rainforest. It is crazy, mind-blowing, but a harbinger for tourists of what's to come once they walk out of the airport's exit. And coming in, finally, at number six, a city of extreme contradictions, Tokyo. First, it's one of the safest cities on the earth. It's had a massive refurbishment because of the Olympics. City leaders, of course, naturally expected millions of visitors, but thanks to the pandemic, they didn't show. So many of the new hotels and experiences that they've created are sitting empty. And that, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the city because of that. Still, the shopping is off the charts. It's got the most restaurants of any city in the world. What I think is so clever about Tokyo is it's affordable for everyone. And being broke doesn't mean that you're excluded from a great meal or experience. Tomorrow, the top five best cities in the world. Funk.
That's something to look forward to. I'm looking forward to seeing what number one is. So that'll be fun. New York City public advocate Jamani Williams is seriously considering a run for governor next year. He's forming an exploratory committee, which could end up with him taking on fellow Democrat Governor Kathy Hochul in a primary in 2022. Williams could go public with his run for governor as early as next week. Democratic Attorney General Letitia James and Mayor Bill de Blasio are also reportedly considering a run for the state's highest office next year. Jamani Williams is actually up for re-election this year, but it's not expected he'll face much of a competition as there's not even a Republican on the ballot. Actually, there is a Republican on the ballot, but she has not qualified for matching funds.
Well, Frank, I have been waiting for news like this for a long time. Animal lovers, it is a happy day. The president of South Korea has announced that he would like to institute a nationwide ban on eating dog meat. Their cuisine of dog has long been a part of the culture. About a million dogs are believed eaten every year there. But as time has gone on and travel has opened people's eyes, the practice of eating dog meat has started to wane. More people, especially younger generations, have come to look at the animals not as dinner, but as companions. President Moon Jae-in is himself an animal lover. He even rescued a pup after taking office. In fact, one of his campaign promises was to adopt a dog, which he did. Tori is the dog's name. Tori is the first rescue to make its way into the Blue House, the executive office and home of the South Korean leader. So I hope that I hope they do this. I think it's wonderful.
5:45. Let's get a look at sports with Matt Sapienza.
All right. Thanks, Frank. Here's what's going on in the wide world of sports. All of the New York teams were off today. Baseball will resume tonight with the Mets taking on Miami at Citi Field and the Yankees playing the Blue Jays in Toronto. But today, it's all about Monday Night Football. Dak Prescott threw for three touchdowns in his first home game since he suffered an ankle injury on the same field almost a year ago. Trevon Diggs returned an interception 59 yards for a score, and the Dallas Cowboys dominated the Philadelphia Eagles 41-21. Ezekiel Elliott ran for a season-high 95 yards and two touchdowns, and tight end Dalton Schultz had the first two TD game of his career. Prescott was efficient outside of a fumble in the end zone that gave the Eagles their first touchdown. With sports at 15 and 45, I'm Matt Sapienza. We'll see you right back here tomorrow.
Thank you, Matt. And let's head over to
Joe
Nolan. This little sign-off is so cute.
Oh, you're laughing at Matt. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm laughing for Matt because I think it's cool. I think he's got his little gig now at the end there.
Let's head over to my best.
No, it's very clever.
Oh, thank you.
Let's head over to Traffic on the Sevens with Joe Nolan. He doesn't really have a signature out.
I was going to say, let's not get too crazy with clever.
I'm just trying to be, not make it seem like I'm making fun of him. Because I'm not.
I have no problem with that. Southbound on the Van Wyck coming out into Hillside Avenue, an accident. The right lane is out. There's a tractor trailer involved in this, so it might be there for a little while at least. If you're on the Hutch northbound Wilmont Road, box truck into the overpass, one lane closed. Also, we have problems in New Jersey. Southbound 287 at exit 30. The right lane and the off-ramp shut down with a tractor trailer fire. Mass Transit looks to be good, though. An alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations again today are going to be suspended. This report of service of Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield. Empire Blue Cross Cross Blue Shield and Heart of America is helping schools across the country increase access to healthy food. Learn more at empireblue.com/NYLiberty. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the 7th, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Hey, by the way, I found out Huntington, New York, was probably chosen to honor the birthplace of Oliver Cromwell, who was the Lord Protector of England, Scotland, and Ireland. Yes, at the time the town was established.
Very cool.
Yeah, so, okay. We're going to, it's after Ollie. It's good to know. I don't know this for sure. This is what the HuntingtonNewYork.gov page says.
Oh, that's probably true then. Yeah.
I would think so. Yeah. I would think so. Thanks, Joe. Frank, you're awfully quiet over there.
Well, I didn't have much to add on the Huntington front. I was eager to hear what you had to say.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's get talking to Sid.
Wonderful. We will hear from him momentarily.
Oh, good. Before we do that, I would just like to, we're wrapping the show up. I'd kind of like to end with a happy little note. And I'm going to do that right at the end of the show because I need you guys to hear something. It's really, really cool. But in the meantime, before Sid comes in here, we have more news to get to. Couple things I wanted to tell you about. The so-called godfather of royal reporting is making a bold claim. Robert Jobson has covered the royal family since the early 90s and has authored a few books on them as well. He told Us Weekly that he doesn't think Meghan Markle will be returning to the UK anytime soon, if ever. Huh? Jobson claims the Duchess is not popular. Okay, we know that. Over there, she's not. And her appearance would not be a success. Problem is, the Queen's Platinum Jubilee is coming up soon, Frank. You know this, where she's celebrating 70 years on the throne. A huge event. I mean, there's events all basically all year long leading up to it, but then it's like the big event happens in June 2022. But it's extremely historic, especially given the 95-year-old is the first British royal to reach that milestone. The family is all expected to be there, including Harry and perhaps Meghan, too. Jobson says Harry will most certainly return for the festivities, but we should expect an excuse when it comes to Meghan bowing out. Her Majesty, by the way, acceded to the throne on February 6, 1952. She was 25 years old.
All right. We'll hear from Sid Rosenberg in mere moments. This is the WABC Early News.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
This is the WABC Early News, and coming up at 6, you'll get to hear the Bernie and Sid show. We have the Sid portion of that show with us this morning.
Hello, Sydney.
Hi, Juliet.
Hi.
How was your birthday last night?
It was lovely. We went to Cassis, which is a great French restaurant in town. We were there at like 4:30. I had my in-laws in town, so it was really fun. Oh, it was nice.
You did the Delray Beach dinner special. 4:30 p.m. dinner every day.
Oh, I do it all the time.
4 a.m. or 3:30 a.m.
I know, believe me. Yeah. I get it. I love it.
What did you and no one else is around?
Danielle do for her birthday?
Nothing. She worked until, late last night and works late every night, basically. She's an attorney in Great Neck. So we had a little celebration at home, and that was it. I was up late watching the stupid football game. I'm not getting enough sleep. It's starting to bother me now. So
yeah, you sound like you're kind of cranky today.
No, I'm going to be good. I'm going to be good.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
okay, good.
But I do need more sleep. There's no.
You
question.
Do need more. You both need more sleep.
It's too much.
You need to go to bed at 6:30 like I do.
Oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. I mean, there's a lot going on. You got the Yankees and Blue Jays tonight. I can't miss that. It's a huge week for the Yankees. I know that we don't talk baseball a lot on this station, but I do. And the Yankees are down to the final 6 games of the regular season, and they're just ahead of both Boston and Toronto for the wild card playoff spot.
Wow.
And they've got 3 games starting tonight in Toronto. First time in 2 years the Yankees are in Toronto, because the Blue Jays couldn't play games in Toronto because of COVID.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So they've got 3 in Toronto, and then 3 this weekend against the division-leading Tampa Bay Rays. So it is a huge 6 days for Yankee baseball, which, again, at the risk of repetition, if the Yankees make the playoffs and even have success in the playoffs, and I'm a diehard Met fan, it's hard to say this, that is great for this city.
Absolutely.
Great.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So that's a big deal. I mean, you got the same thing is going on, Afghanistan, Millie and all that stuff, and Biden, and, we'll talk to Bo Dietl today. He's always a great guest. And there's a young lady coming in. I'm going to be hosting her fashion show tonight somewhere on West 60th Street. I don't even know all the details. She's coming in about 9:25. She's been here before.
You're hosting her fashion show?
I am, yes.
What does that mean? What do you have to do?
That means I have to get put on one of my nice Joseph Abu jackets, go for a late afternoon tan.
Oh, my God.
And introduce the girls as they walk down the runway.
What is...
Make a couple of bucks, and the money goes to actually to a fund to get the fashion business back on its feet.
Right. So what is her name?
My name is Sid Rosenberg.
No, her name.
Oh, her
name. Coming in at 9:25.
She's been here twice before. Her name is Stefania.
Stefania.
You know who she is.
Yes, I've seen her in the live stream. She's,
yes, that's her.
Very becoming.
Well, okay, I'll go with that. So she'll be back at 9:25. So, you know, now that we're on TV every morning, you can. If you don't know this, folks, if you're in your car right now, you can watch the Bernie and Sid show every morning like a television show. WABCRadio.com.
Just make sure while you're driving, you've got your
right. Make sure you're watching it. Exactly. It's boring in the tunnel. WABCRadio.com. So it doesn't hurt every now and then to bring in some good-looking people just
sure,
for that.
That's right.
Yeah. We don't care. I mean, we don't care about the content.
Oh, God. Well, you two are, you know, nothing to sneeze at.
Well, look at you.
The Bernie and Sid
duo. Thank you for that. Thank you.
You're welcome, honey.
So that's the show. Bo Dietl, right. Stefania. A lot of baseball for me. The Cowboys ravaged the Philadelphia Eagles on Monday Night Football last night. And the Rangers will have a big night the end of January, retiring one of the all-time greats' numbers. We'll have all that coming up on Bernie and Sid.
All right.
Sounds more like the Boomer and Geo show on WFAN, but that's why they hired me.
Whatever works, man. Whatever works.
Right, I love you both. Man. Happy post-birthday, Juliet.
Thank you very much. Just a couple real quick headlines. The deadline for certain state workers to get vaccinated passed. We are very concerned about hospital workers, the healthcare industry. Kathy Hochul signed an executive order yesterday to deploy the National Guard, retired health workers, new grads, and those licensed in other states and other countries to fill in for the anti-vaxxing healthcare workers who quit over the mandate or got fired over the mandate. And somebody is reporting that they talked with Brian Laundrie at a bar before he allegedly killed Gabby Petito. Yet another twist in this very strange case. The person actually referred to the FBI, and he spoke with the FBI for 45 minutes. And R. Kelly is guilty of racketeering, including acts of bribery, sexual exploitation of a child, and sex trafficking as well. Those are some of the big stories today.
Facebook says it will put a hold on its plans to roll out a new version of Instagram for children. The decision to postpone the rollout of the social media site for kids under 13 comes after the Wall Street Journal reported that Facebook knew its Instagram app was harmful to teenagers, especially young girls. The report said that many teens blame suicidal thoughts on Instagram. Facebook, the parent company of Instagram, said it still thinks building a version for kids is the right thing to do, but right now they will reevaluate the project and focus on teen safety and expanding parental supervision features. Lawmakers are calling for the social media giant to completely abandon the project.
Well, I am not a Rolling Stones fanatic, but I appreciate what they've done, and I appreciate their contribution to music, certainly. So it was a bittersweet start to the Stones tour Sunday night. For the first time since 1963, the band played without their beloved drummer. In a heart-wrenching scene, especially for huge fans like Steve Lacy over at Fox 5, the show opened with an empty stage and only a drum beat, with photos of Charlie Watts flashing on the video screens. After playing their massive hit, It's Only Rock and Roll, to start the show, Mick, Keith, and Ron honored their late bandmate. It's a little tough to hear, I know, but you'll get the gist.
And we'd love to dedicate this to Charlie. So,
we'd love to dedicate this to Charlie. And the band then dedicated Tumbling Dice to Watts, who died in London August 24th after complications from surgery. He was 80 years old. Oh, that the stage, the empty stage and the drum beat, that killed me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, very emotional. God. What an end of an era, you know?
Oh,
three
no,
of them,
no
four
question.
Of them not together anymore.
Yeah. 5:57, let's get a look at traffic and transit on the 7s with Joe Nolan. Joe, I have to drive to Newark Airport. How's my ride out there looking?
Going from where you are, you shouldn't have a problem right now. No,
great.
Everything looks actually
going?
Really good.
I have to pick up my brother-in-law who's flying into Newark.
Oh, exciting.
And then you're going back to Staten Island?
That's the plan.
That's where you're going to have probably but getting across the Gothels Bridge should be a little bit of a trip, but still, you'll be fine. On the Van Wyck Southbound Hillside Avenue, track to track. trailer accident, one lane out both ways, Springfield Avenue, again at Broad Street, that overturned tractor trailer, that's in Westfield, that's been there all night. Also delays on the Hutch northbound at Wilmont Road, that box truck that hit the overpass there, 287 in New Jersey and Morristown, coming down to exit 30, that tractor trailer fire. Delays on the E and the F and alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations again today are going to be suspended. This is part of service of Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield. Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield and Heart of America, helping schools all across the country increase their access to healthy food. Learn more, empireblue.com/NYLiberty. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you. And one more thing. I love ending on a happy note, and this is definitely that. A Detroit couple recently got married, Frank, after a long engagement. Dontez Williams, or Dante Williams, and Michelle Burton met on Plenty of Fish, you know, that dating website, and they've been engaged since 2017. During the ceremony, the groom made a startling second proposal, but not to his new wife. Instead, to her two little girls, 9-year-old Abigail and 8-year-old Natalie. Listen.
So I told you I love you already. From there on, I felt destined to be there for you.
Oh, it's hard to hear, guys. I can't. Yeah, this is hard to hear, unfortunately. But he asked them if he could adopt them, and it was his little proposal. And I mean, wow. I'm gonna post the video. You just have to see it. It is, it's awesome. It's awesome. The whole place, like the whole everybody, the ceremony just starts bawling their eyes out.
That's very sweet.
It was pretty awesome, and the girls said yes.